Welcome back to Jeopardy X with Don, Alex, and our newest contestant, Gavin, who gives me the creeps. Anywho, here are the categories. Leading off, we've got women in politics. What a mess, right? Followed by January 6th. Then we've got industry standard NPC catchphrases, followed by Creed lyrics, great band, one of my favorites. Then it's fake conservatives. We all know the type. And last, it's the N-word. A lot of words that start with the letter N, so keep that in mind. Gavin, you're up against some fierce competitors, but you select first. Go ahead.
Let's do NPC catchphrases for $400.
A favorite saying of NPCs in recent history, we're all in this together. Let's flatten this. Yes, Gavin?
What is the Pacific Palisades?
What an odd thing to say. Good Lord. Yes, Alex?
What is the curve?
That's the one. 2 weeks to flatten the curve? Boy, was that a lie. What's our next category, though?
Let's do Creed lyrics for $600, Alex.
Hello, my friend. We meet again. It's been a while. Where should we this? Gavin?
What is f***ing over the taxpayer?
What an airball. Yes. Don?
What is begin?
That's right. Don, you've got the board.
Women in politics for $800, Alex.
Now that's a body count. This lady politician was supposed to win the 2016 presidential election, and in the late 90s, her husband got fellatio in the Oval Office.
That'd be Killary, a.k.a. Hill Dog. I mean, who is Killary?
The judges are giving me a thumbs up. Also, I'm not sure if you've heard, but I think Hillary's had a lot of people murdered.
I'm well aware. Infowars.com, but let's go with January 6th for $1,000.
They called it an insurrection. They called it a threat to our democracy. They called it the worst thing that's happened to our country since 9/11. However, January 6th was this. Yes, Gavin?
What is an assault on trans kids?
Embarrassingly wrong. And I suspect that you're a pervert. Yes, Don?
What is an unguided walking tour for unarmed senior citizens?
Perfect response. Don, go ahead.
Let's try fake conservatives for $800, Alex.
This South Carolina congressman has never heard of a war in the Middle East. He didn't want to fund. Also, he's a bit of a poll smoker and has a woman's name.
Easy money, Alex. Who is Lindsey Graham?
Bingo. Lindsey loves raw tube steaks and subverting the Constitution. Don, what's our next category?
Let's go with the N-word for $600.
Answer, Daily Double. Don, what'll your wager be?
I'm all in, Alex.
This N-word used to be out of fashion, but it's making a comeback, and it's all the rage in some circles of political extremists.
Those are some nasty, nasty people who use that N-word. Very disgusting individuals. That N-word, however, is Nazi. Sorry, what is Nazi?
Nazis don't exist, but they call people the name to justify harming them. It's as clear as day to see the dynamic at play, unless you're retarded. Don, next category, go ahead.
All right, folks. Very good stuff from Darby there. Jeopardy skit made with AI. It really just made me want to actually play Jeopardy with Alex. Should we actually do a game show of some sort? I feel like that's what needs to happen. I feel like we need to do a trivia show. We'll do a special broadcast a weekend night or something. I'd want to compete. Alex could compete. Who else could we get? And what would the topics be? I don't know. But I think that would be very fun, actually. I think it'd be fun to get to just talk about trivia and knowledge rather than slog every day through the endless swamp of corruption that is modern American politics. And stride we will, stride with purpose through the swamp as we talk about everything that has occurred over the last 24 hours. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Find us at alexjoneslive.com. Share that link right now. When we get back on the other side, we've got a breakdown by Alex Karp. We've got the Iran negotiations going tits up. We got insanity across the board, folks. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
How you
look on the outside is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. Ladies and gentlemen, bovine colostrum is known for decades by women and loved. You know, doctors push it because it works. And nutritionists for your hair, your skin, your nails. But that's the outside. Imagine what it's doing on the inside. That's where it has its most important effect, is in your guts, your immune system, and your organs. Bottom line, all of the high-quality supplements we sell at thealexandstore.com have a 5-star rating. We have over a 90% reorder rate. Nobody has that. These are all the best because I want them to work. I want you to love them. I want you to appreciate us and be happy with what we brought you so you reorder it again and again. Believe me, folks, bovine colostrum is one of our best products. You want to get it, get the ultramethylene blue, get our Shilajit gummies, our CMOS. They're all incredible products. But this colostrum really is special. Get yours now, again, at thealexshowstore.com. And I want to thank you again for keeping us on the air.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this first day of July. It is Wednesday, the 1st of July, 2026. You're watching the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Follow us on Rumble. Follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. We got a lot of things to cover today. I got a lot of crazy videos to show you today, as well as, of course, major developments with the war in Iran, as well as politically, some developments that we got to discuss, we got to talk about, because they're kind of gigantic issues that are going to destroy our country if we don't head them off at the pass. But today, a couple videos have gone viral from a friend of the show, Alex Karp. No, I'm sorry. Enemy of the show, Alex Karp. I shouldn't say friend of the show. Regular, you know, he has regular appearances here on the show when we play videos to illustrate how psychotic this man is. He's given us another bounty, a crop of videos where he apparently is going completely insane. Now, we're going to go to some of these videos. I've watched a few of them. They're very good, or I watched like parts of them, but I wanted to react in real time to this interview. The whole thing is like 20 minutes long, and apparently the whole thing is completely bonkers. But we'll go through clip by clip and see if we can't figure out what the hell's going on under this guy's curly hair. Let's go to clip number 16 first. This is Palantir CEO. And let's just lay the, lay the groundwork a little bit, shall we? This is Alex Karp, one of the co-founders and the current CEO of Palantir, the technology company that, of course, is an offshoot of NQTEL, the CIA operation. It is the operating system that will run the New World Order. It is the organization system by which they will take all of the surveillance information they can get, all of the data they can scrape from anywhere they can get it, Flock cameras, Amazon servers, wherever. Palantir is the way that they access, collate, and organize all of that information. Now, if you're familiar with the Eighth Front War, or the clip that we've played many times on this show of Larry Ellison describing how AI is going to be used in the future, you know that he explains that first, you have to get it all in one place. First, you get all the information in one place, all the surveillance in one place, then and only then. And that's healthcare data, that's surveillance data, that's everything. Passport data, everything. Get all in one place. Only then can you really utilize AI to control everybody completely all the time. That's Palantir. That's what Palantir is. And this isn't what they want to do. This is what they're doing. This is what they're already doing. They are already in this position. They are already immensely powerful. And their programs and their software has been used all over the world in all sorts of nefarious activity. They help to power some of the AI used to target people in Gaza for elimination. And he routinely makes the most insane statements you've ever heard, some of them in a braggadocious way that has since come back to haunt him. It's probably the video we've played more than any other video on the War Room. It's, well, and really we played a lot more in American Journal when it first happened. But he was at Davos, and he bragged that his Gotham program from Palantir single-handedly stopped the rise of the far right in Europe. What he meant by that is sort of anybody's guess. The most generous interpretation is that he said because he stopped terror attacks, therefore the right-wing backlash never happened. But, like, that's very weird. That's a very weird way to brag about that. I don't think that's what he was saying. But that's the excuse people use. Oh, no, he wasn't talking about silencing people or, you know, censoring anything, which I believe that is what he was talking about. But no, they say, he was talking about all the terror attacks they stopped. And it's like, is that your primary concern? You apparently stopped some mass murder, but the reason you did it was so there wasn't the backlash against the peaceful Muslims. Like, I don't believe that. Regardless, this is the type of stuff he says. In other instances, you know, he said that people who, like, undervalued Palantir's stock, he really wanted to have autonomous drones spray them with fentanyl-laced urine to kill them. And it's just like, that's a crazy thing to say. And again, you know, in a lot of these instances, like, he's very sort of like, he says he doesn't do drugs, but he's very sort of spastic. And he's always kind of twitching around and, like, he seems like he's on drugs. And he says this crazy crap. And he says it as if he, like, thinks everybody else agrees with him. Like, that one in particular, he's like, oh, the people that say Palantir is not the best, I wish I could train autonomous drones to spray fentanyl-laced urine at them. Nobody else is like, you are the autonomous killer drone guy. So, like, it's not actually that funny. It seems like something you might actually do. And it's actually concerning that you think that that's a funny, relatable thing. It's not. That's horrifying. You're a horrifying person. And you have immense power. So the reason I'm saying all of this is to remind you that this Alex Karp guy is an important guy who runs one of, if not the most important company in America right now, perhaps. Certainly gaining in importance each passing day as healthcare programs and the military and all this other stuff incrementally is being swallowed up by the Palantir program. It's already immensely powerful and it's only becoming more so. So let's see what the head of the company had to say today on CNBC. We'll start with clip 18. Here's Palantir CEO Alex Karp.
Do you get to control the weights? Are we really going to outsource the battlefield of this country to the consensus view in Silicon Valley? That is effing insane. And by the way, every single enterprise in this country in private, a lot of them don't want to speak in public because it gets outsourced to the neurodivergent crazy person that apparently is on drugs, the one thing I don't do. Okay, so that's my role.
I'm sorry. What is something about a neurodivergent something or other? He's like, as long as they do drugs, the one thing I don't do. It's like, then what's wrong with you? I mean, drugs would explain this. If you say Alex Karp is on drugs, I go, yeah. I mean, I've seen him. I'm aware. But it's like, no, that guy's totally sober. It's like, what? Now we have a problem. Now we got an issue. That man is not on drugs. That's a problem. And what does he mean, the one thing I don't do? What do you do? What do you mean the one thing you don't do is drugs? What do you do? What does that mean? I don't really understand that statement. Does anybody else get what I'm saying? It's like if somebody asked, like, do you do drugs to me? My answer would be no. I'd say drugs, no, not me. I don't say drugs. That's the one thing I don't do. What do you do then? What does that mean? I really don't understand. He's like, you know, hookers, yes. You know, like spray people with fentanyl laced urine, absolutely. Drugs, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, I get my rocks off a different way with murder. I watch snuff videos from my robot drones that are trained to make the sound of crying babies, just to make sure I only kill people who are good. people who care. The one thing I don't do is drugs. What does that mean? What does that mean? I think it means he does drugs. I think it means that's what a druggie would say. That's what somebody who does drugs would say. Drugs, that's the one thing I don't do. Yuki. London police to extend use of live facial recognition drones. Police say AI drones and live facial recognition are an essential part of fighting crime. We think. Theoretically, yes. Now, they've never actually put any effort towards using that to fight crime. But theoretically, yeah, that could be used to fight crime. It's used right now to imprison people for what they say on the internet while the rape gangs ravage 250,000 girls over decades. And, of course, Palantir's behind it all. Of course they are. All right, so I genuinely don't even know what he was trying to say there. He's like, we don't want to outsource our warfighting capability to the, like, ideology of San Francisco. I guess, I mean, sure, maybe. What are you talking about? I mean, Palantir is a creation of the CIA, just like Oracle, just like Facebook. Like, these things came out of InQtel. They're almost all managed, at least in some part, by BlackRock. I mean, where do you think the theology of San Francisco comes from? What do you think it is? It's the same ideology that runs the United States government. It's the same people. It's actually just an auxiliary organization to the military itself. So I genuinely don't even know the point he's trying to make there. We can go to the next clip, clip 19. Palantir CEO Alex Karp on Squawk Box, again, sounding like a complete lunatic.
NVIDIA deal first.
Because I have so much respect for NVIDIA and Jensen Huang, I'm going to try to keep this more adult than I usually do. But the truth is, if you want to know how this came together, from my perspective, there are a lot of technical issues. Who controls the models? Who controls the weights? Who controls the value of your business? We're sitting on critical infrastructure across America, Ukraine, Israel. Everyone who uses LLMs on the battlefield runs on top of our ontology. And our clients are just, to say they're unhappy with the Frontier Labs is to say I'm welcome at the Berkeley faculty. It's like there's just a level of discomfort and loss of trust that also made it really, really.
Okay, unpack that. What do you mean by that?
Well, you have, okay, so when you're using large language models, at this point, everyone technical realizes they're like a critical resource to make them valuable in an enterprise like battlefield context or regulated context or manufacturing. You have to have what's called an application layer. We have this thing called ontology that now everyone's copying. But de facto, it takes a large language model. It makes it safe and useful and precise. So safe because it doesn't touch your unlearning data, safe because it prevents the large language model from caching your data and replicating your business. Safe because it doesn't transfer your IP of how to fight secret data, top secret data, or in a clinical context. So the general way these things were sold, and again, these people are, Sam and Dario, there's nothing more fun than debating Dario in private. So I'm not throwing shade at them, okay. But something has gone completely wrong. And the basic view among enterprises in this country is, I'm going to chillax and waste my time with tokens. I'm going to get no value, and they're going to get my IP.
Now that sounds like shade.
Okay,
though. And not to shade. It sounds like if you're saying these.
No. Sorry, this is reporting.
Okay.
And this is reporting that I've literally, against my own interest, called these are like I'm profiting from this, right? So the reality is, you may not like us at my former school, Haverford or Berkeley, but enterprises in this country trust and love us, especially ones that are involved in critical infrastructure, both public and private. Okay, so I want for those countries, we're coming up to July 4th, I want for us and our friends across the globe to have the very best tech resources. In fact, the whole secret of Palantir is the forward deployed model, the products that have been 5 years ahead. You know, you've been with me for a long time. Everyone said FDEs were services. They said, we don't even know what an ontology is. That's the only thing people talk about now. The secret was we delivered the best things for the warfighters. Those warfighters have serious trust issues. But
I think what he's saying is AI is overvalued. I think his point is that AI is overvalued and that enterprises who went all in on AI are now questioning that investment, thinking, what am I actually getting for all these tokens I'm spending, especially if my IP is not protected? And it's a little bit confusing because it's hard to tell when Alex Karp is talking about himself and Palantir and when he's talking, like, saying we as in the society as a whole or humanity right now. I don't get how any of these people are in the positions that they're in. They all seem like they're idiots, to be honest with you. And I'm, you know, no shade to the guy, but like, even Elon Musk, you hear him in interviews and it's just like, we got to do things the right way. And it's just like, you're a trillionaire. And this Alex Karp guy, like, maybe it seems like his babbling is intelligible. And maybe people think like, wow, that guy's so smart, I can't even understand him. No, I'm a very smart person. He wasn't making any sense. He was not, there was no through line to follow. He's a scattered mind. And it's like, you think about like Mark Zuckerberg, Alex Karp, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk. How are these guys in charge of everything? They are the most unimpressive people. They're not even charismatic. There are some people you can watch and they're not good talkers, but you're like, wow, that dude is really smart, like too smart. Palantir's Karp bashes OpenAI Anthropic token model. Something has gone completely wrong. Big Short investor Michael Burry follows up cryptic AI bubble warning with bearish stock activity on NVIDIA and Palantir. This is about much, much, much more than, you know, Palantir's stock price. And I've been reporting on this for a while now, but, you know, more people are recognizing this is sort of the latest development of this. Orrin McIntyre posted it. PlayStation just eliminated physical games, meaning it's now impossible to own a game. Everything is a rental that can be censored or removed without notice from a central hub. I haven't bought a console in a decade, but this is part of a larger trend I've been warning about. AI data centers have sent the price of processors, RAM, and hard drives to skyrocket, as hardware companies prefer selling to AI companies over individual consumers. This means that the average person will no longer be able to afford their own computing power and will rent it through AI models. Combine that with the fact you can no longer own software and you have a completely digitized environment with zero means of individual ownership. Sam Francis predicted this in his book, Leviathan and Its Enemies, calling it the dematerialization of property, which ensures that no middle class emerges. He believed this is a key step towards the total state. And of course it is. It facilitates everything the total state needs. It facilitates surveillance, obviously, because it's not like you're going to have your data on your hard drive that's accessible by you with a wire. Your data, your information will be actually in the hands of somebody else, and you'll simply pay to have access to it. But they can give it to the cops whenever they want, whether it's warrantless searches or, you know, squeezing every penny of taxes that they can. Yeah, the data, the details may be in the data. But look, it's not just disks. Like, CDs were on their way out a long time ago. Right now, it's becoming prohibitively expensive to buy consumer hard drives. I tweeted this out. Guys, go to my ex and, you know, search for digital media or, you know, hard drives or something like that. Because I laid out exactly how this would work. I mean, you will no longer pay for a physical object that can store data that you own and control. You will rent, by permission, access to you know, digital farms. And this whole thing, you know, like the way Oren puts it, it's kind of true when they say, how's he put it? Hardware companies prefer selling to AI companies over individual consumers. Kind of, but this gets into the whole, like market manipulation right now where it's NVIDIA and OpenAI. There's like just a couple of AI companies, including SpaceX, which is primarily AI, not as much going to space, but you know, AI is involved in that, the data centers that they run as well. They are just like trading money between them. And so NVIDIA is building processors to sell to OpenAI that in turn is investing back in NVIDIA to build, goes over and over and over like this. This is all part and parcel with the same move, which is that you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Like, it's not a coincidence that private property itself is going away and that more and more of our private property comes in a digital form. So, I mean, it clearly is a step towards the total state, a state that exists only to, you know, perpetuate itself. But this is an economic issue. This is a manufacturing issue. And it's an issue that, and I don't even really get, because Palantir is not like a direct competitor to these people. I think they are only really competing in terms of, you know, war fighting and military capabilities. But let's see if we have one, if we have time to go to one more. Can we go to clip 20 here? Have we done 20 yet? Let's go.
You have been a proponent and great supporter of Israel over the years. Great supporter of Israel. And right now we have a ceasefire in the Middle East, which we hope holds. Having said that, there is a bit of space between where the U.S. is now and where Netanyahu is on what is happening here and whether they ultimately be protected. And I'm curious, given that and given also your relationship with the U.S. government and the work you do there, how you think about that disconnect.
This is like so many things. I am the most publicly supportive CEO of Israel, and that's true. I think Israel is on the side of good. Now, in private, because I have I'm known there, to be fair, I'm probably also the most effective critic of like, hey, I didn't agree with this, without going, and I would be very happy to be more in public about that, except for I think not all. There are many legitimate criticisms of Israel and every other country. Although I would say, do you want a country that can sometimes be difficult as your partner, or do you want a country, or do you want partners that have no tech scene as a partner? And so, like, it's like in this world, having a fully adult, independent, aligned country that doesn't always agree with us is much better than what we somehow have in Europe. Like, which that's, we do not want that. Yes. Okay. So, look, American Israel will never be fully aligned, and that's totally okay. My position is they are a very important partner, and we are proud to support them. And in private, you can bet your last dollar I call and complain about a lot of things.
Yeah, I bet. We're not killing enough people. I call and complain about a lot of stuff. Guys, you got to use our programs to kill more children. Come on. There's kids out there that are going to turn into terrorists if we don't kill them immediately, guys. Come on. I complain a lot about it, what Israel's doing. Yeah. Palantir programs their AI to kill people. There's a problem with this. There's a major problem with the fact that our big tech companies are run by incompetent weirdo psychopaths who are also more loyal to Israel than they are to us.
I put me spinach to the side, and I've been using Ultimate Power on the AlexJonesStore.com.
A very special event is about to happen this July 4th, 2026. the 250th anniversary of the beginning of our republic. And hey, our country's had a lot of problems, done a lot of bad things, but it's also done a lot of exceptional things. And it created the model of human liberty that others have aspired to across the world. That's why the globalists have come to this nation and tried to take it over, because our liberties and freedoms amassed so much wealth, so many inventions, so much ingenuity, that it became the center of the world. So tyranny came here and had pretty much taken the nation over. But now we have major beachheads at the federal, state, and local level. And there are populist movements expanding and raging across the world in the great fourth turning, the great awakening. Their great reset, their COVID attack, their lockdowns have only backfired on them. And their attempts to launch all these wars has only awoken humanity. And that's why we're doing a fundraiser right now until the end of July, with more than a dozen limited edition shirts, some of the best designs ever at thealexjonesstore.com that are only available through the month of July. Ladies and gentlemen, these shirts fund our operation. They're great fabric. They feel really good. They're printed right here in the United States in Arkansas. And I designed many of these shirts. These are some of the best, cleanest designs we've ever had. This one just came from Arkansas out of the mail. It hasn't even been washed yet or even folded. That's why it's got a few wrinkles. It looks even better once you've washed it, taken out of the dryer. And we've got a whole bunch of incredible designs we're putting on screen right now. And when you wear these shirts out in public, you meet like-minded people, it is a real adventure. There are hundreds of other incredible designs, ball caps. Many of them are limited edition. All these 250th anniversary are, and they're only available at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at this. America, 76, 250 years with the Betsy Ross flag on the arm. That's what it's all about. So get your shirts now. Get the best supplements, the best water filtration, and more at thealexjonesstore.com, and keep us on the air. Thank you so much for your support. America is coming back from the dead thanks to you.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't you trust anyone.
This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I found the tweet I was mentioning. This is from back in March of this year. Grums says, "You will eventually need a license to own a computer. This is where this whole age verification for OS is coming from. It's not about protecting kids. If it were, the California law would not demand that you share this age data with any dev that asks for it. It's about controlling access to compute and what you do with it. License to own a computer." So, of course, my response was, a license to own a computer? Wishful thinking. You will need a biometric social credit score above a certain threshold to use a device that allows remote access to the centralized data center on a per-use basis. Okay. They are phasing out physical storage and personal devices. And that's true. They are. And it's not even, an unexpected or like unnatural development. It's just deliberately happening in a way that is inconvenient, but gives them more power. See, every time previously that a form of media, a form of data collection or a technology has gone away, it's because it's been replaced, it's become obsolete, a better form emerges, and the old form simply falls out of favor. Floppy disks, get replaced with CDs and DVDs, which get replaced with thumb drives. This is a natural course of evolution technologically. But you don't have to then go the next step of there's no media at all. There's no media that you have your hands on. Now we will own everything from a centralized data center and you will simply get access to it if we want you to. But that's what you would do if you were trying to massively centralize, you know, everything, like absolutely everything. You, of course, would also centralize the computer data that everybody relies on for everything, doing their work and just living their lives and absolutely everything. Now, people are still reeling and reacting to the Supreme Court decision yesterday. And I guess Nick Fuentes did a show yesterday, and because I've just been seeing a bunch of clips from it. And just like always, we're very much aligned in everything. But I wanted to play a clip here that, again, I think expresses reality extremely well. And I'll just play this clip, but there's another clip as well where Nick is expressing sort of what I've laid out before, which is reflected in this post by Christian Hines, where he says, "Ever notice how the Constitution was utterly powerless to stop COVID lockdowns or the explicitly anti-white male DEI regime that was constructed over the last decade, but now it's invoked to grant natural-born citizenship to CCP spies? The Constitution has become a suicide pact that is being used to steadily resolve the very nation that wrote it and ratified it in the first place." And he's exactly right. And this is the incredibly frustrating part that we've been highlighting forever. Obviously, the border is kind of the most egregious example, where it's like the Constitution doesn't let us stop these people coming in, but it somehow stops us from getting them out. What? How is that even a thing? And what I've been saying for a while, and I'll reiterate now, is that people who believe in the Constitution have to break with the Constitution, have to not be bound by the Constitution, so that we can create a civilization and a society that can, in fact, be governed by and believes in and adheres to the Constitution. If we don't, then people who do not believe in the Constitution, do not adhere to or even understand the Constitution, will destroy the Constitution. Do you get what I'm saying? And so, you know, when Nick talks about this, he talks about, basically says Trump is the biggest wimp, to put it nicely, to use a more polite word, the biggest wimp in politics. And he brings up all these examples of times in the past where, you know, the Senate was blocking Trump's appointments. And, you know, people like Darren Beatty were saying, well, if they block the appointments, then we will do, you know, this other move, and then we'll totally cut the Senate out. And it just never happens. Even though, like, you don't even need to be particularly gung-ho about it. If you just actually wanted to do everything you could for your side, you would just do this sort of stuff. In other words, you don't absolutely have to break. Like, right now, there's this whole, like, well, you know, you should be Andrew Jackson, and the Supreme Court decided it. Let them enforce it. We should just ignore the Supreme Court. And that would be a pretty blatant, you know, act of executive supremacy, right? That would be breaking with the construct of our government. However, for the survival of our nation, I do believe it would be worth it in the case of something like birthright citizenship. But we don't even need to go that far. Why not just do the things that you are allowed to do? Like, you don't have to just go, I am in the Supreme Court decided against me, so therefore I'm going to be king from now. Actually, I'm an emperor now, and what I say goes, and screw the other branches of government. Like, that's a pretty extreme reaction. Again, justified, in my opinion, but that would be an extreme reaction. How about just doing whatever you can with the tools at your disposal? What about that? What if we start there? What if this is not a question of Trump needs to either be the new Julius Caesar, cross the Rubicon, and shatter the old system once and for all, or, you know, total complicity? What if just the Republicans do what the Democrats do? What if you just get into office and then you use whatever tools at your disposal, whatever weapons come to hand to try to fight for your people and your country and to stop the law breaking? It wouldn't be that hard. And it's it's almost funny because you know that these people are feigning incompetence. The people around Trump, the Republicans in office, they spend like all of their time pretending like they can't do things that they know they can do, pretending like it's impossible, or pretending they don't even know what to do. For example, I was talking to a friend this morning about the, you know, birthright decision. He had a brilliant idea. He's like, well, you know, the executive has the ability, is lawfully allowed to determine who comes into the country and who doesn't. So why doesn't he just do a total blanket ban, travel ban for 120 countries? Why not just say, hey, if the Supreme Court's going to decide on that everybody who gets born here is suddenly a citizen, you know what? Nobody gets to come. It's like, well, that would have huge, devastating impacts on the economy. Yeah, probably would, huh? So then it would really be, you know, in Congress's interest to pass an amendment really fast. We can get this economy going again. It's that type of stuff that it's like, I find that to be, and hey, maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't, maybe there'd be trouble, like who knows? But it's an option. It's a plan. It's a scheme that you could attempt. You could try it. You could see how it goes. And if it doesn't work, you could try something else. We don't even try. The Republicans aren't even trying to do anything. The Supreme Court makes a decision. We just go, well, that's that. Hang up our hat. We're done here. Country over. And again, the craziest thing is like Trump and the Republicans, they do talk about it with that language. They are apparently aware that like if birthright citizenship continues uncontrolled, that's it for the nation. So it's like they get that it's the end of the nation. They understand that this is an existential problem that we're dealing with. They're just not willing to do anything to combat it. Anything. So again, I think that's a brilliant idea. I think, you know, Trump can just go, well, I'm the executive. I have the power to stop all immigration into this country or all visiting into this travel ban. So I'm doing a blanket travel ban until Congress writes an amendment, and it could get done tomorrow. I mean, how long did it take them to do? I mean, all this stuff, half the time you don't even hear about the bill until it's already passed. They can do things very rapidly. They can do things that are incredible, that are, you know, they're unbounded in their power and their capability and their resources. They can do whatever they want. They just don't want to do it. They don't do it. And Trump doesn't make them. Trump's not cracking the whip. And this is not just with like actual things that the federal government or the executive branch are doing. I feel like the disappointment here is across the board, where you've got stories like this from today. Tennessee taxpayers to pay nearly $2 million as a settlement to a fired professor who celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination. This is the type of stuff that voting for Trump was supposed to stop. I mean, okay, maybe I'm like, you know, yeah, don't worry about that picture. Don't worry about what she looks like for a radio view. You don't need to know. You don't need to know what she looks like. You can imagine. Never once, as far as I'm concerned, has a right winger who's been fired for nothing. Like, they don't get settlements. They don't even get their jobs back. They just get fired. They get their lives destroyed. First, they get fired. Then they have a lynch mob come after them. In the case of people like the woman who was fired and was attacked because she called the cops on a black guy whose dog was off leash and like attacking people. Y'all remember that story? And they called her a racist. Or the pregnant nurse whose bike was stolen by a gang of black guys who filmed her crying and said she was trying to steal the bike and everybody pretended to believe that. I mean, she got fired. There's no settlement there. This woman celebrated Charlie Kirk's murder as a teacher. You're a teacher in charge of children and you're justifying the cold-blooded assassination, the murder in front of his children of a young father. Yeah, you get fired. You get fired for that, but not the left. The left not only, you know, maybe they get fired temporarily, but then they get their job back and they get $2 million. Just like the rioters in Black Lives Matter burned down cities and then got paid tens of thousands of dollars by those cities because the rioters were temporarily placed in, you know, plastic handcuffs. Meanwhile, the January 6th defendants, the people persecuted by the U.S. government, tortured in some cases, literally tortured. I'm not just saying they were made uncomfortable. I'm saying they were subjected to mental and physical torture for months on end for the crime of walking through an open door, high-fiving a police officer, and then leaving when asked. We actually got a $1.2 billion settlement. It was the Republicans that stopped it. So this is what I mean. It's like, what has this all been for? How has nobody learned the lessons of the last 10 years? How has nobody in power even, like, it's like we're stuck in 2012. It's crazy. It is genuinely crazy. These people have been subjected to a decade of the left wing going completely insane, simultaneously burning down cities and arresting innocent people for their political views, trying to send them to jail for 30 years when they weren't even at the Capitol, like Stuart Rhodes. I mean, and the Republicans still are just like, well, but, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative and we can't be just giving money away. And it's just like, we're fighting for our lives, you absolute cretins. Like, so we're going to go to this clip from Nick Fuentes. But the disappointment, I mean, it is way beyond President Trump. It is the Republican Party first and foremost. For example, I don't know if you've noticed this, they're passing the Kids Act, which is going to require a digital ID to get on the internet. But they won't pass the SAVE Act that requires an ID for voting. The Republican Party will not secure our elections, will not require an ID to cast a vote in a presidential election, but will force you to provide your ID to check your email. What is wrong with them? How do we get rid of them? Here's Nick Fuentes making the point extremely well last night during his show.
So if where we are in 2026 in July is that there's no border wall being built, there's no mass deportations, and birthright citizenship got struck down, none of that is going to happen. Whatever the outcome is of the next election, mark my words, you're going to wake up on January 20th, 2029, and none of these things will have happened. And what will be the legacy of Trump? Announcing in June 2015, bowing out in January 2029 at the latest, 14 years, no border wall. You probably have 15 million more illegal aliens than when you started. Birthright citizenship still in place. H-1B visa cap being met every single year. That's Trump's legacy. 14 years of build the wall, 14 years of America first, make America great again, all the rest of it. So for people that say we were buying time, we were wasting time, wasting time. People said, well, yeah, maybe it's not a golden age. Hey, there's political realities. Hey, man, the Democrats control half the chambers of both bodies. You know, what can they realistically do? At least Trump is buying us time. At least Trump is preventing Democrats from cracking down. Buying us time? How about wasting everybody's time? How about wasting 14 years? How many elections? How many billions? How many majorities? How many votes to deliver no border wall, more illegal aliens than when we started? A legal regime that's more favorable for legal immigrants. And birthright citizenship still in place. A war with Iran. We're still in Iraq. We're still in Syria. A $1.5 trillion defense budget. No tariff schedule. This is what it was all for. It was all so that we could get Marco Rubio for president. 14 years, none of that. And also that we could get President Rubio or President Vance. Two never Trumpers from 2016. An Adelson puppet and a never Trumper. So that's why I've been, that's why I was out in 2024, because I saw all this coming. I knew it was going to be like this. I told you in 2024, I said, I'm not voting for Trump because it's over. He's not the guy from 16. He's not the hero. He's not the leader. He hasn't learned his lesson. Nothing has changed. He's not deporting anybody. He's bringing us to war in Iran. He's not building the wall. I told you this in 2024. People said I was a Democrat operative. Remember, that was the theory. They said that Joe Biden cut me a deal. That's why I wasn't prosecuted for J6, so that I would support Kamala. Remember when that was the theory from these geniuses? Remember Ian Carroll, pro-Trump, sucking douchebag. Candace Owens, pro-Trump. Sneeko, pro-Trump. All these people were pro-Trump. They said I was a Fed because I cut a deal with Biden. I didn't get prosecuted because I was in cahoots to get Kamala elected. Trump was endorsed by the Muslims in Dearborn. Trump is at odds with Netanyahu, they said. Trump is going to deport people. Just look at the placards at the RNC. I told you it'd be like this. Here we are. I told you this is exactly how it was going to go. I even told you about this. On January 21st, 2025, I said it's going to the Supreme Court. They're going to strike it down. I said it's going to be Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett that do it. That's exactly what happened. And now here we are. They wasted all their time. They didn't get any deportations. We're going to get slaughtered in the midterms, and then it's cooked. And we're just stuck here until 29. So heed my warning. How do we prevent this outcome in the future? The Republicans need to be f-ing destroyed. They just need to be obliterated in 26. We need a blue wave. We need Democrats to sweep the House. We need this administration to be destroyed. Trump needs to be impeached. I'd love to see Vance impeached. I don't think that will happen, though. Trump's got to be impeached. There need to be investigations. Trump needs to become like Nixon. I want his approval rating to go lower and lower and lower until it looks like he might need to resign. We need Trump's approval rating to fall precipitously from the war in Iran, from inflation, potentially from a recession, when they uncover all this corruption. We need Trump to fall. And then hopefully in 2028, there will be an opportunity for a Republican outsider to run in the primary, who's going to really be a Caesar-like figure. Someone who understands this. Or it might take us until 2032. Honestly, he might have screwed it up so bad, we might need to go through another cycle. Another super cycle. Get another Democrat in. Make everything terrible. You get another crack in 32. I mean, I don't want that to happen, but it might take that long. That's how bad Trump has screwed things up. But that's where this is headed. We just, as Republicans, can't accept anything less.
I don't disagree. I actually completely agree. And really, the whole reason I wanted to play that clip, it just hit me as he said it. You know, 14 years, it's been 10 years at this point. But by the end of Trump's administration, it will have been 14 years. And we'll have more immigrants, illegal immigrants in our country now than when he came down the escalator. That's crazy. Like, it wasn't even a big topic, really. So, like, obviously it wasn't, maybe it was intentional. I mean, at this point, I'm sort of open to anything. But intentionally or not, if Trump had never entered into the race, if it had been Hillary and Jeb, we might actually be in a better place now, if you think about it, because we probably wouldn't have had Black Lives Matter and the COVID-19. I mean, obviously, and again, you can't blame Trump for attacks against him. But when you're looking at where we started versus where we are now, illegal immigration may have been a big problem before, but it wasn't something that Democrats were actively pushing for to the degree that they are now, right? You didn't have people in 2016 saying, we're going to open up the border and you all come rushing across and we're going to open it. That didn't really exist. It was a big problem that most people weren't talking about. It was sort of a sideshow issue, you know, politically. So you think Trump making people aware of this, because I was somebody that hadn't put a lot of thought into it. I, of course, my whole life. I've been aware of illegal immigration, and you know, I've posted essays I wrote in high school, you know, arguing against immigration, legal or illegal. I've always been against it, but like for a while, you know, I listened to the libertarian arguments that were like, well, it's just a line on the ground. Like, why should this dictate where we're allowed to live? And it was Trump's arguments, like not his bombasticness, not his insults. It was actually the points he was making about immigration that woke me up to the reality of the problem, like how big it was, how existential it has become. So you think that's a good thing. You think he's raised awareness and we'd be able to make some tangible moves. But actually, we never got the deportations. We never got the wall. And then that, because Trump made that such a central point, then you had it become a deliberate tactic of the Democrats to bring in as many people as humanly possible. So the ultimate outcome of Trump being the champion, you know, against illegal immigration at the end of the day is that we have significantly more illegal immigration than we've ever had before. And it's become like a defining characteristic of the left. That is abysmal. Like that's beyond a failure. And again, it's not like Trump has tried his hardest. He just hasn't. He's tried to play the game. He's tried to work with and make deals with people who despise him and are destroying our country, which is how we got to where we are now. That's not a quality that is beneficial to us, his willingness to make deals, because he makes bad deals when we don't get anything. And again, the really absurd part is that the GOP and the Republican Party itself won't even give us like a symbolic victory. Like they could just pass the SAVE Act and just at least massively, you know, just get rid of a major obstacle to midterms, have something to tout, have a big banner to wave every single rally. We passed the SAVE Act. We did it. Even if it doesn't have an effect, even if it like whatever, they won't even give us a symbolic victory. They won't even act like they're doing everything they can. Oh, you protest deportations, we'll stop deportations then. And that's just how it goes. It's just no fight, no willingness to go above and beyond, just screwing us over constantly and then demanding that we vote for them. And what have we ended up with at the end of all of this? Democrat socialist Melit Kyros defeats longtime House incumbent in Colorado primary. At the end of 10 years of Donald Trump, the ascendant, rising, powerful party cruising to future victory are the Democratic Socialists, the exact opposite of who Trump is or represents or who we want him to be. The only people who have benefited from Donald Trump are the Republicans and the Israelis.
A back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker.
And I've told the story. My mother never wants to go on TV, but she did last year. Look, your dad was completely bald. I'm not kidding. And now all this hair is coming in. And hair that was gray started, she was showing me at the restaurant. You've seen it. It's coming in brown. It is buy one, get one free until tomorrow night at midnight central at thealexjonesstore.com.
You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm serious. So. Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
Tell us what happened.
I have been on colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker.
Ask ChatGPT what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It is bovine colostrum. It is buy one, get one free at theellenshowstore.com, and it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.